and it's in the breaking. We come unbound. And it's in the giving. We are found. Yeah. You could barely change.
Welcome to Wisdom and Well-Being, a podcast created to honor the authentic human experience. Seeking to nourish through stories instead of through substance, we offer this space for the telling of a unified narrative where wisdom, hope, gratitude, and love become our sustenance, and community our home in which to receive it.
You walked on fire.
Today, I am honored to share an inspiring conversation with a close friend and fellow functional medicine clinician, Dr. Lauren Lax. As you will see in our podcast, it is nearly impossible to describe Lauren in a single paragraph, and I can only hope in this short intro to provide a brief glimpse into her wealth of knowledge and clinical expertise. Lauren is a doctor of occupational therapy and graduated from Belmont University with her degree in occupational therapy in 2014. She has multiple health certifications, including foundational AFMCP training with the Institute for Functional Medicine, certification as a fitness professional through ACE and CrossFit at level 1, and certification as a nutritional therapy practitioner through the Nutritional Therapy Association. She is currently practicing functional medicine in Austin, Texas, incorporating nutritional therapy, lifestyle counseling, fitness coaching, and coaching for those recovering from eating disorders. Her talents, however, extend far beyond the realms of nutrition and functional medicine alone, as she is truly an innovator and passionate force, bringing wellness to all who seek it. Her smiles, joy, and prayers alone are healing people hundreds of miles away. In our conversation today, we delve into the role of spirituality and faith as part of a functional approach to medicine. We describe a practical 5-step process for engaging, educating, and supporting patients through lifestyle and habit change. We explore our visions we both share for healing, incorporating mindfulness into all aspects of one's life. And we even dig into how we are and hope to shake up the current paradigm of chronic disease care. After the show, please check out the notes on our podcast page to follow Lauren and her nourishing work. But before we begin, I would simply like to thank you for taking the time to listen to this podcast, remaining curious and open through all the challenges of this life, and for giving yourself the time and space to be nourished, renewed, and healed. For it is only through mindful self-care that we will ever be able to help those we truly love. And lastly, we hope you can extend some of your mindful acceptance for the audio in today's show. You may hear chirping birds, sirens, starting engines, or even crying toddlers in a primary care clinic. But we hope you can accept all of these things, as we do with all things that come in life, and cherish the authenticity of being all the more imperfect. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you be at peace.
Hey, Lauren, it's great to be talking to you today. So excited to be sharing a conversation with you. People call me one of the happiest people they've ever met. I think, you know, I tell them you just haven't met Lauren because she brings me so much joy. So just thank you for being on and let everyone know a little bit about you and what you're currently doing.
Yeah, well, I'm so excited to be here and thanks for hosting me, asking me to come on. I am, what am I trying not to do? Take over the world. I am an occupational therapist, functional medicine practitioner, and nutritionist based here in Austin. And I'm the founder of my company, Thrive Wellness and Recovery. And that really is my mission, is to help others thrive in their lives from the inside out and really take on to the diet culture. So a lot of my work that I do was initially inspired by my own 15-year battle and struggle with chronic disease, and namely an eating disorder and chronic anxiety, and being told for years that I would always struggle with it and it would be something I could learn to manage but not, overcome. And so when I did, I decided I wanted to help others in their lives as well overcome the areas where they feel stuck. And whether that's a health, food, or mindset or fitness rut, I really come alongside my patients and clients to help them redefine what a healthy, thriving life means to them and looks like for them, and help give them guidance from using the tools and resources I've learned over the years as both a functional medicine doctor and a nutritionist in particular, to help them physically, and then supporting them emotionally and mentally with the therapeutic and coaching component that I integrate.
Lauren, you simply inspire me. It's amazing. Like you said in the intro, you know, you technically have some letters, some titles after your name, but what you do cannot be summarized in any degree, any title, you know, any letters. It's amazing all the things that you do for people and really truly embody that holistic clinician. And I've just, you know, we met, I guess it was back in October. We had both started Chris Kresser's Adapt Clinician Training. And I remember getting on the Facebook page and starting to get to friend people and meet people. And you know, I felt a little bit out of place. I was sort of this, you know, I was a medical student at the time, this sort of, you know, younger voice, but I was getting to meet people and came across one of your posts, led me to your page. And I think it also led me to like an article, like you had described about your own health journey. And I'll just put it out, I broke down in tears. I was like, there is no way, you know, just reading your story, reading about what you're doing, I was like, God has brought our lives together right now to share this journey together. It's, you know, I can't give any other explanation, but he wants us to know each other and to nourish each other. And it's not something I've talked a great length about with very many people. I mean, a couple of my close friends who know me quite well know a lot about my own history, but I too struggled with sort of chronic illness, and more specifically with kind of an orthorexic eating disorder as well. And some of you may be saying, like, what, males don't get, you know, eating disorders? And but that's kind of was a big part of my own mental and physical illness, was this orthorexic pattern of eating. And I, you know, reached out to you and I was like, we need to have a conversation, and you know, our Christian spirituality, this history, and what it was we wanted to bring to functional medicine, because it was way beyond just the labs, way beyond the protocols. There was a language, a soul tribe that we belong to, and I was just so excited to reach out to you. And we've had so many nourishing conversations since then, and it's kind of why I really wanted to have you on the podcast to kind of dig into those aspects of health and healing that go far beyond whatever clinical approach, lab tests, nutrition protocol, what have you. It goes far beyond those types of therapies and really reaches that inner soul, that inner being that we really are. And so I'd love for you to maybe share a little bit more about your journey into this space and how you have incorporated your own spirituality into your clinical practice.
Oh gosh. Yeah, for sure. That's very, lots of years, I guess, and experiences have shaped, led me to functional medicine and to holistic nutrition, and then ultimately to just that deeper awareness and the power of the mindset. So something I completely 100% believe, that in order to transform your life, you must first transform your mind. And yes, that for me was the biggest game changer, I think, in the 15 years that I did struggle and thought I wouldn't get out. And I think regardless of what an individual struggles with, whether it's cancer that, I mean, you didn't ask for nor maybe have control over, to something like an eating disorder where perhaps there is a little bit more control over what choices you make on a daily basis for your self-care. But regardless of that, that's the power of healing and the power of freedom from those things starts in the mindset. And so I don't know, where do you want me to begin, Rob?
Letter to an edge of just so much. Yeah, so, you know, I guess perhaps give us a story or a glimpse into how you begin to work with some of your patients and tackling that, the mind, and tackling that aspect of taming the mind, and where you mm-hmm. give people a ground to start.
Yeah, well, I think I have created a method or a process that I kind of found out the hard way through my own journey, and I call it like my Thrive method, and it's a 5-step process of initially starting with gaining vision. So I think gaining vision for where I wanted to be and where they want to be in their lives is really huge. So even getting a picture of what does thriving, healthy you look like or act like, and what is she or he like, and to just even imagine where it is you want to be. Sometimes people will call that like, what are your goals, you know, in the next 10 years, or what's your vision for your life? But it is really getting a clear picture about what that looks like for you, because without that, then you are spinning your wheels. You don't really know what you're working towards. And so I really get in a really deep space with them during the first initial meeting to gain clarity about that. After that, I move into raising awareness. So another key essential from, I know myself in my recovery journey, and then I think for a lot of the clients that I work with as well, is just the education piece, that knowledge is power and can be power. So knowledge in many fronts, not just book and text knowledge, but knowledge and awareness about maybe the lies that you've been believing mentally. If you have been struggling with the eating disorders full of lies, to the lies of just this world, I would say, like, there's so many lies in this world. And my faith was super important in my own journey, and I encourage people to find like their truth, whatever that truth is for them.
Yes.
And during that process, and just as we lean in more to truth, that encompasses raising awareness. Another part of raising awareness is just in truth is, what are you putting into your mindset and into your mind on a daily? And a lot of the clients that I work with, for instance, in recovery from eating disorders, are oftentimes putting their minds and their eyes on social media or on the next Google article that they're reading about something health related or body related, magazines that we read or the media we consume, and just how toxic that can be to our mindset. So I really am, I encourage my clients, again, regardless of whatever their struggle is or their health condition is, to infuse your mind with truth and positivity. Some people that maybe like the self-help style books, there mm-hmm. are some great books out there that have been super impactful, I know, in my life, such as The Seven Habits of Highly Effective People by Stephen Covey, and How to Win Friends and Influence People by Dale Carnegie. The Slight Edge by Jeff Olson, I believe is who wrote that. But from books to podcasts to the community and the people you're surrounding yourself with, the more truth you can put in that mind of yours, the more awareness is raised perhaps to the lies and the negativity in your life. Not to mention the truth that both you and I, Rob, teach other people on perhaps a daily in our work, and that's the truth about your body and your health and how your body functions and what it needs to thrive. And a lot of times my clients are in the dark about what that means. And so giving them, whether it's helpful protocols or resources to lead them and guide them in that awareness. So those first two steps, the gain vision and raising awareness, is where I spend a bulk of that initial starting point to get a person, the ball rolling towards something different. From there, we move into redefining. So once you are aware of both mindsets and then also protocols and things that will improve your health, it's redefining what that looks like for you in your daily life. And so that lovely word, habit change or lifestyle change, comes into play there. And it is giving a person tangibles around implementation of whether it's a healthy eating plan for them, it is a digestive protocol or any supplement protocol. It is even the way they're starting their day and speaking to themselves. So establishing a really solid morning routine and really finding the tools in the tool belt that are going to help this person to thrive, and maybe readjusting their exercise patterns if they've been super stressed, doing a lot of chronic cardio or not exercising at all. It's really helping a person approach healthy balance and get fresh new, put these fresh new visions for their thriving life into place or into play. And then the last two steps are pretty linear, or not linear, they're ongoing. So it is setting intention and taking action. So once we've gained vision, we've raised awareness, we've redefined what that means for you in your life, then we move into setting intention and taking action. And that happens on a daily, on a weekly, and ongoing basis of what is one thing I can do today to propel me towards the greater life I want for myself and the greater health I have in mind for myself, and just even building into my own self-care. And so I really encourage my clients to create goals around that vision they had for themselves on step one, that thriving life. But as they create those goals, this is where the actual on the front lines taking action comes into play. So for a person, it may be, you know, every day this week, I'm going to focus on drinking water every day. I've been drinking a lot more coffee than I have been water. Or another person, it may be every day I'm going to start my day off by not getting on my social media or in my email inbox for the first 2 hours, and instead put truth into my mind and prayer into my life, or a great workout in the morning in my life, and readjusting habits, but doing so in a really tangible, doable way, not an overwhelming way. And that process just continues as the person grows and I grow with them and walk with them. And my goal is to really release and set them free from my oversight, that I give them the tools that they need in their tool belt to thrive, and not, I will always be a resource for them, but a lot of my work too is inspired by the years I spent in therapy, and I was just like an ongoing therapeutic client, but going week to week without much change. And so I don't want my clients to rely on me as a crutch for their life, or just like, okay, therapy is what I do for the rest of my life. If it's what you need, great. But if it's, my goal would be to help release them and let them fly. So does that answer your question?
Oh my gosh, Lauren, I'm just going to say to our listeners, if you don't listen to any part of this podcast, just go back, rewind about 5 to 7 minutes, and just listen to this past section. That your process, that way of thinking and setting people up to succeed, I'm really wordless at the moment. I mean, it makes so much sense. And you can tell you've put tons and tons of thought into creating that process. And what do you know, only a small piece of that was protocols, or you said sort of testing and, you know, and putting some of the, maybe the nitty gritty of functional medicine. A lot of that was building the person's perception, their intention, raising their overall awareness. I loved it. I mean, we speak the same language, but if you guys don't take anything else away from this podcast, go back and just listen to that last 5 to 7 minutes. That was unbelievable. So many ways we could take this. I guess I really resonated with that piece at the end with, you know, I need to educate, empower, so that, you know, you can do this journey on your own, and not on your own that I'm not going to be here with you, but that you have the resources and feel capable of maintaining and regaining your health. And we can't handhold the entire time. There will be certain moments where you will need more strength from others. And I remember myself, you know, when I was most sick, I had nothing to give anyone. And I felt a little guilty being, you know, in treatment and therapy, because I was like, I don't even know what I'm giving. Like, I'm showing up and I'm taking, because I've been so starved of spirituality. I've been so starved of, you know, this language of my being. And one of my mentors, you know, finally brought peace to that thought. It was like, you know, we all go through life walking around a central fire. And at any given time, we are going to be, you know, or we are carrying a torch. And at any given time, we are going to be adding to the flame or taking from the flame. Sometimes we'll have much to give. We'll be adding and adding, throwing sticks on the fire, giving our light from our torch to that central flame. At other points in our life, we're going to be taking from the fire in states of depletion, illness, states of just, you know, immense depression. You know, we need to take from that fire, and we cannot feel guilty or self-righteous, depend on, you know, whether we're giving or receiving. And it's just knowing, where are we right now? Do I need more from the flame, or do I have more to offer? And it's really given me strength to be fully present with myself and to be fully present with my patients, to recognize, give them that permission in their healing. Hey, you nourish yourself. You need this right now. And in time, slowly but surely, you're going to give and you're going to give and you're going to continue to give, and it's going to feel wonderful. But if you, you know, think in this moment, in this state of depletion, that you have to be in all these places doing all these things, it's only going to hold you back. And I've had just really wonderful outcomes with people when, you know, they sort of switch that mindset and they're able to see, you know, visualize that flame, visualize where they're at, and bring peace to it. And I agree with you. I think that's what we're here to do: empower, raise awareness, and remind people each day that they can set a new intention. You know, be fully present and practical. You know, we'll be walking alongside of you. I won't be holding your hand, but I'll be by your side. We'll be doing this journey together. And I know I wouldn't be able to share that if I didn't have a central strong faith, you know, and belief system. For me, I'm a Christian, and I draw much of my strength from Jesus Christ and from just the overall divine and his presence in this world. And I know it's something we've talked about, you know, individually quite a bit, but was kind of curious to see, you mentioned prayer, you mentioned, you know, affirmations. What are other ways that you bring spirituality into your clinical environment, or how do you guide people to maybe cultivate a faith without seeming like, you know, you have to teach them Christianity or set some specific set of beliefs?
Yeah, I think there's so many ways to do that. I think I do share, just I opened that bridge, I guess, by sharing that that was a huge game-changing point for me, was just connecting to something greater than myself, to even spur those wheels that could be a potential game-changer, helpful tool for their tool belt. And I think the power of meditation, and not the perhaps watered down version of meditation that we think of it as, but just really helping a person connect to being present and finding how to be present for themselves. So challenging them to find and think about the things where they kind of lose themselves in a way, but like in a very mindful way. And so spurring that meditation. Meditation is really the act or the form of doing anything where time kind of escapes.
Yeah,
but we're so mindful and present with it. So more like meditation could be just like doing something you're totally passionate about, whether it's art or photography or moving your body or being in nature. It can be the classic just sitting and definitely deep breathing. But I think that's a really tangible and actionable way to start increasing mindfulness and meditation. And then I do talk a lot about just mindfulness in general and just how mindless we really are in this society and culture, that we don't really stop and just check in with our bodies or ourselves or our minds. We just go. And so also integrating that as kind of a challenge in my clients, whether it's their Thrive project I give them for the week. And so my Thrive projects are set. The challenges I'll give my clients week to week based on our goals that we're working on, the goals they're really working on for themselves. But mindfulness around meals is a huge thing, for instance, that a lot of people are disconnected with. They're bringing in mindfulness there. And I mean, for me, mindfulness personally within food context is even like stopping to just like be thankful for the food and pray for the food to nourish my body. And but mindfulness around food can also be just slowing down, taking 1 to 2 deep breaths before your meal to get in that rest and digest state and actually tasting the flavors and recognizing your hunger and fullness cues. Mindfulness just in your daily, if you're at work sitting at your desk and on the computer for that 8 hours, it is being taking mindful breaks to escape for 10 minutes to get outside, get some fresh air, to just walk away from the screen, just get up and walk to go talk to your coworker instead of texting them or mailing them from across the room. But taking mindful breaks, something else to help is just like reminders on your phone. So I have a reminder every day at noon, for instance, that goes off and it just says pray. And I honestly forget about it every time, like that it's coming until
that's
it's there.
So
and
I'm like, oh, wonderful. Yeah. I need
reminder.
To do that. I so need to do that. Oh my goodness.
So ways for people to integrate, like just disconnecting from the go, go, go rat race mentality we're in and that disconnection with our bodies and our minds and ourselves. And then also just so increasing awareness about spirituality in particular, it goes back to that raising awareness and resources. So there's so many resources out there, whether it is, again, through books or podcasts or guided meditations that can just spur a person on in their wondering. Two of my favorite resources that I personally have used, and one is The Purpose-Driven Life, which is a book by Rick Warren, but a huge game changer as well. And then a daily devotional. So there's a lot of guided daily devotionals, both Christian based and then non-Christian based, but for reflection and mindset. But even if you're not a reader, I think it is usually like a paragraph to read that day. So and there's apps obviously as well. I love the Jesus Calling app personally. And I think just you have to be proactive in seeking that awareness and seeking who or what is your greater truth. But it is definitely a big part of, I think, an often overlooked aspect of healing and recovery in many ways.
Wow. I mean, I'm sitting here like making notes, like what do I need to add to my little toolkit? I love the reminder about prayer, because we do fill our lives. I know that the two of us are just, as much as we are beers that we sit in our being, we are very active doers. And sometimes I need that little bit of a reminder to say, hey, just sit down and pray and give thanks to the food you're eating, the thanks to even be alive in this moment. And it's
totally,
you know, it's amazing. On one hand, I know I use this word ruthless, and it's not meant to be, you know, sort of a vicious word as it sounds, but we almost have to be ruthless about, you know, what we consume in order to preserve that truth. that you keep talking mm-hmm. about, and recognizing there is so much out there that's trying to distract us, that's trying to distort the truth about ourselves. And whether that's, like you said, social media, newspapers, news on TV, TV shows, you know, we have to just be aware of what we consume. And it's far beyond just food, the relationships we're in. And we have to have a practice. And sometimes it'll take things like setting reminders or building needs and structuring it so you can really be ruthless in maintaining that truth. Because, you know, the practical person in me realizes, like, you know, I wish I could just walk around outside, be in the mountains and be completely serene, but that's just not what the real world's like. And sometimes we need to pull out some little tricks and tools to be able to help us stay within that truth. And you definitely have more than a few of those tricks. I guess I would love to kind of take this perhaps in another direction and sort of see, you've been up to so many wonderful things recently in creating new content that's accessible for patients, for anyone to be able to engage in this lifelong journey of health and optimal vitality and wellness. And I've been encouraged and inspired by your work, sort of seeing this next generation of clinician and healer, and just the type of content and the space that you're holding. And I guess I'd be kind of curious if you want to share with the audience what exactly it is, some of the content that you're creating, perhaps your podcast, and what's your mission? What's your message?
Yeah, well, kind of like I said initially, part of my mission is definitely to shake up diet culture. So our culture has been influxed by this diet mentality for so many years. And so that is just a passion that's very near and dear to my heart. And a big reason, again, why I started Thrive initially. I think as I have dived more into functional medicine space as well, and nutrition space, I recognize for myself that I love helping people, not just with eating disorders as well. And so I think my mission or my visions are really multifolded and things I'm working on. I mean, at this moment, really this morning before we got on this phone, I've been working on a project called the Thrive Life Project, which is it's an initial 30-day program that eventually will become subscription-based, but teaching people how to make healthy living a lifestyle and not a diet, and just was really inspired by all of the diets I see so many people go on and off, whether it's a Weight Watchers or following the Tone It Up Girls, which is a younger demographic they're reaching, or Nutrisystem, and all of the ease and the convenience that these diets provide and these programs provide, because they give a person structure, they give a person community, and they give a person, in a way, like just resources and tools, whether it's the Nutrisystem, frozen diet meals, or sort of a workout plan. So to help give a person tools and resources, but from a functional medicine perspective and from a holistic lifestyle and healing perspective. And so this program really will teach people how to have the light bulb moment for themselves, where healthy eating and healthy living are not something that you have to think about. Like even these diets you have to think about. I really want to infuse my brain and mind on them, and like the things that have now become normal for me, but were not normal at one time, which again is self-care.
Yeah.
And how a healthy lifestyle doesn't have to be separate from, or like, your normal life, but it can be your normal life and you can have your cake and eat it too. And teaching people really what 80-20 balance is. So part of the nutrition protocol on that program is really teaching a person how to have your cake and eat it too, and that there aren't really bad or good foods, and especially within the context of that diet mentality. And so teaching a person what are the more nourishing foods and the foods that are going to make your body feel really great, and how to become more intuitive. So it teaches also intuitive eating throughout our time together. And then on the fitness front, it's instead of seeing fitness and exercise as a chore or a checklist or a treadmill, it's reminding your body how it was in yourself that you are meant to move in this life. Movement is our ancestors' version of exercise or fitness, and how to connect with all sorts of movement, be it strength, be it endurance, be it power output, and just like flexibility training and rest, and incorporating a balance of that and learning intuitiveness with movement. But there is a nutrition and a fitness protocol on the program. And then the last piece and the biggest piece is the mindset piece. So
yeah,
daily, I put out a daily mission and a daily Thrive project for the participants to complete. And again, the Thrive projects are just those little action items to take home the message of that mindset lesson that day. So whether we're talking about establishing boundaries for yourself, learning to say no when you're always a yes person, establishing your morning routine, establishing just the mindset and the game-changing mindsets that are going to make a bigger difference when the program and any program is done and done. And so, again, over the course of about 30 days, they're getting a daily mission, a daily workout or movement, and daily nutrition tips, coupled with just really a very robust functional medicine protocol from like a lifestyle and nutrition perspective that's at the same time very simple. I don't know if that makes sense, but that is the program I'm working on right now, and in line with a book that I just wrote on it, I call it Unstuck, and it's about getting unstuck from your health, food, mindset, and fitness rut. And that has been on the radar as of late. Otherwise, I want to open up a Thrive Center here in Austin, and that's probably the bigger vision I'm running after right now. And I want to bring functional medicine so it's more accessible to more people and more mainstream, I guess, to our medical model, and also provide a real food, paleo-inspired restaurant, and just like a fitness and movement space on site, as well as an eating disorder recovery program for individuals around the world to come to Austin and spend, whether it's 3 months, 6 months, a year here, just learning and relearning how to do life. That's what's in the works.
Yes, of course. Of course, all of that's in the works. I mean, Lauren, you are such a game changer in this space. I mean, I know probably a lot of this audience and a lot of people are familiar with Chris Kresser, and like we mentioned before, that's kind of we're doing his training. And I see you as being the next, and even not that you need to fill someone else's shoes, but you are that female. You're that next Chris Kresser, just wanting to really bring this to as many people as possible. And I mean, I get chills hearing about this idea for wanting to create a clinic for eating disorder patients, because I mean, that's, you know, and like you said, 3, 6, 12 months, you didn't say 1, 2, 3 like weeks. It's things don't, you know, happen at that time scale, you know, 1, 2, 3. It just, you're not going to be a vital, healthy, you know, fully empowered person, you know, if that's the only therapy that you get. And I just get chills because I remember, you know, I was bathed in so much healing at a hospital in North Carolina when I was in the depths of my illness, and I was doing spirituality, I was doing art therapy, we had therapy dogs every now and then, I was doing yoga, I was, you know, starting to meditate, I was praying, we were focused, we were learning about food, but unfortunately the big missing piece there was actually the nutrition. And I think back and I'm like, man, what if you just added, you know, really truly nourishing nutrition and education with this to this model? This would just like blow the world out of the water. I mean, to me, it just could make recovery and treatment for not even just eating disorders, but make that recovery so much more wholesome. And I mean, it's a passion of mine, obviously, having kind of been in that space and seen it in, you know, specifically, but I've been inspired to sort of, you know, question, well, why were we the only ones in the hospital? Why was our unit the only ones getting, you know, this holistic care? Why were we the only ones doing group therapy? Why were the only ones having, you know, individual psychotherapy and art therapy and doing all these things? Like, what's preventing us from doing this for others? And, you know, making just making a whole new health system. Like, you can't even call it a hospital. I don't even know what we would call it. You have to get creative, but making this residential place where you could really, really heal people. And so hearing that that's as part of your vision and knowing that the person that you are, I know that's going to happen, whether it's, you know, a few years from now, 10, 20, you know, I can see that light, and I would be so blessed to be by your side as you go towards that light. I kind of have chills sitting here, and your content has just been so nourishing to me. I know I go to your Facebook page almost every day to read your devotionals, and it may seem like such a simple, silly, pointless thing, like, oh, who's really going to read this? But just those prayers, those devotionals I've kind of made it into my morning routine, and it's really given me so much courage and confidence, and knowing how much is out there in social media, being able to have something that nourishing from a close friend, and it gives me a lot of strength. So we can't underestimate the power of these small messages, and coming from a place of authenticity and strong faith, I guess to kind of bring things to somewhat of a close. I mean, I would love to just keep talking with you though for hours and hours, but I did have one sort of final question for you, and I'm going to purposely leave it kind of open-ended, but you know, what would be your perhaps one final piece of advice to anyone listening to this podcast right now, whether they're already in the health sphere or they're just learning more about health as a, from a family perspective, as a patient? What would be your final and last piece of advice or a story to share with our audience?
I think it's just the encouragement that whatever it is you're struggling with, or whatever it is your loved one is struggling with, or maybe not even struggling, just wanting something different in your life or wanting a change. It can apply to so many ways, but that you don't have to stay stuck wherever you're at. So that we have so much great power within us and within the power of choice and the power of really the mindset again, that there's so much that can change for you. And so whatever rut you feel like is not going to change, or wherever you feel like in over your head, that you are meant to thrive, and that you can have a different lifestyle and a different health and a different outcomes. I think back to just when I was in the pit again of the eating disorder, and just feeling like this is something I'm always going to deal with, or these are the cards I've been dealt. And then that breaking point of just realizing I don't have to be here. I don't have to stay stuck. And so here's what my encouragement would be, just that whatever struggle it is you have, that you don't, that you are meant to thrive. And to know that first and foremost is the biggest game changer in the trajectory of your own treatment and your own walk, and making the most of your day to day.
You were meant to thrive. If that's not your, slogan or part of a logo already, I think that you have something there. You are meant to thrive, and it dovetails perfectly with something I tell my friends, my patients. You know, we can never be irreparably broken. I mean, it may feel like we are so stuck, so deep in a rut, but we are never irreparably broken. There's always a path out, and we are here to thrive. Well, Lauren, thank you so much again for sharing this conversation, this space with me. Please, can you let people know how to follow all of this amazing content and work that you're doing? And we'll have the links, of course, with the notes for the show, but let people know how they can get in touch and follow you.
Yeah, for sure. My website you can find me on is drlauren.com, and it's DRLAURYN. So Lauren has a Y, not an E, .com. And then I have a podcast as well called Break the Rules with Dr. Lauren Lax. and that'll be that. I my books and everything will be available on my website, as well as the program that I just mentioned, the Thrive Life Project. So would love any participants or anyone interested in what finding out more to either contact me or stand by.
Oh, wonderful. Thank you again, Lauren. And hopefully we can figure out a time in the near future to meet in person. I've just, it's been such a blessing to share this space with you, but I'm just sitting here wanting to give you a huge, huge hug. So hopefully we can get that in our schedules and have that aligned. But
yeah.
So have a wonderful
day. Air hugs.
Yeah, yes, air hugs.
You too.
All right.
Thanks so much, Rob.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thank you for your presence and willingness to receive a new narrative, a passionate perspective, and perhaps a deeper sense of connection with our collective purpose. Please share this podcast with any and all that you believe will benefit from its intention to relieve one's doing and engage one's being. Please share your comments about the conversation on our podcast page and leave a review in iTunes so that the voices in this space can spread to all ears ready to receive it. Music credit goes to Dillingham for their song, Vessel. Remain open, stay curious, and forever be love.
You walked on fire. And I know you tried.